what people don't understand is that that rappers are signed to contracts. And from time to time, if you are fortunate enough and you're not getting fucked by somebody, your contract's over.
Yeah.
And it's if you want to do it again, you can do it again. Sometimes, like, niggas get so big, you know what I'm saying? They make their own decisions by, like, solely by themselves. Like, that's what everybody should want to do at some point in time. I just think it's interesting how much music from the UK and honestly, like, Africa has influenced the rest of the world in that time. From the drill music, how it went from Chicago drill, like, low-key, UK drill is what's going on right now everywhere. And then to the Afrobeat shit, to the dancehall shit. It's just tight. That's what I've noticed and what I appreciate the most. Go 110,000%. Daddy, treat that shit like if you respect a fucking scholar. And never quit your day job until you get a contract that pay more than your day job. Yearly, not just that month. Homie Lil Sims, it has been kicking ass all 7 fucking years. She has been kicking ass all 7 years. She does not get talked about enough. She has been like on every type of legendary niggas album that we can name, from the Gorillaz to who the fuck else? Like, I mean, like, and Mark Ronson shit, I think. Like, she's done everything.
I'm DJ Semtex. This is the Hip Hop Raise Me podcast. Right now, I'm with one of the dopest, sickest MCs in the game right now, Isaiah Rashad. What's going on, man?
Man, not much. Chilling, a little busy day with my kid out in the world and shit.
Right. All right. Well, look, it's dope to connect. I think I seen you in the UK one time, and that was years ago. Like, I think it was
like 7 years ago.
Yeah.
7 years ago.
Yo, yeah. Time's flown, man.
Yeah, man. Flown by this motherfucker, man.
So look, we're here to talk about the album The House Is Burning. Very, very dope album. It's another great album within the TDE catalog. It's another great album for hip hop. I feel sorry for the Grammy committee for 2022 because there's a lot of dope projects out this year and yours is one of them. So it's a dope time. Definitely a great time.
Thank you.
So, but I just want to take it back for a minute for people who need to catch up, you know, like, let's take it back to the beginning. Like, how did you first get into rap?
Oh, man. I'd say initially, you know, just from my parents, man. My parents, my family, everything they play, you know, it's like a soundtrack to life, you know? And I kind of, like, from liking it so much, I think anybody who's a fan of something heavy enough try a hand at the craft themselves, so it was only natural, I feel like.
Right. So when you say from your parents, what were they listening to?
I mean, you know, smorgasbord and stuff, you know. Anything from KRS-One, Outkast, DMX, to Biggie, Frankie Beverly and Maze, to Sade, you know what I'm saying, to maybe some old school, like some jazz shit, Louis Armstrong, Miles Davis, you know what I'm saying, they'll play Aretha Franklin, you know, just anything, dog, smorgasbord, yeah. Dog, like, goddamn Wonderwall, you feel me?
Hey, so, who is the one rapper, though, that like, inspired you to pick up the pen and start writing?
I say, like, lifestyle wise, probably Master P, but overall, probably just I like the way rappers communicate it. I've always been able to like kind of pick up on like deciphering lyrics. In my opinion, you know?
Right.
So it's something I always love doing.
All right, you got a crazy technical style, yo. I never imagined like you'd be a Master P fan like that, or you know, it inspire you like that.
I mean, aesthetically, the way he went about it, like, I'm from Tennessee, dog. So I mean, it wasn't just like the gold chains and all this shit. Like that shit was cool as a little kid, but it was like I was a reader and shit. And he had his whole family with him. Everybody, he brought his whole like neighborhood with him type of shit. And that was some stuff that I always aspired to. You know what I'm saying? Raise up people with me. I mean, that type of shit. Yeah.
The new album, let's bring it back to 2021. The House Is Burning.
Yeah.
Why'd you call it that?
Well, it seemed like a good title. It seemed like a good summary of my life. It seemed ambiguous enough that anybody could put their own spin to what it might mean. And I feel like that's what art should be. I feel like that's what art, if you're trying to call something art, it should be. Hey, but you should be able to interpret it yourself. You know what I'm saying? You should be able to get a different meaning of it than I got. You know what I'm saying? It ain't about necessarily agreeing. It's just about feeling something.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, like, how long did it take you to make this album?
I mean, seriously locking in like a year. But I recorded a lot of stuff over a period of like 3-4 years. Just fucking around. You know what I'm saying? Excuse my crazy.
All right. Yeah. I like the way you started with the Dark Side track.
Oh, yeah, like poetry, man. Yo, that shit, that's it. That reminded me of like some of the stuff I write when I first started, like trying to seriously pick up the pen and say I wanted to take this seriously as a lifestyle and as a career.
I like the line, like, we're ever going to keep my kids safe and with it.
Yeah.
I'm down with
it. I mean, it's reality, right? You know what I'm saying? I'd be trying to like say stuff that I feel like motherfuckers, like people will feel right. In their own way, and it could be, I guess, how you put it, like universal.
Yeah.
Music for the universe.
It's dope way to start an album. It's dope.
Thank you.
So, you know, with you're from Tennessee, you're growing up there, but you're rolling with TDE. How did that come about?
Just from chance meeting with one of the managers back in the day, through my homie Tenji,
right.
At a Bodega Louie in LA, man. I was out there trying to find my way, and I always intercepted him. Just like that, man. Some stuff ain't really that complicated. It's a blessing that it happened, you know what I'm saying? You don't question it.
That's dope. Yo, before we started talking, it looked like you was playing a game. Like, what game were you playing?
I was playing 2K. Playing 2K right now.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, I'm off right now. Besides, this is the last piece of thing I gotta do to use my brain for the rest of the day, so.
Right. What other games you into?
I like a lot of RPGs, man. Stuff with like I play Returnal, a game called Control, I play Last of Us 2, Red Dead Redemption 2. Stuff like that, you know, it's just role playing and stuff I can escapism. Like books I read, you know what I mean?
Stuff. All right. What, you're not into Fortnite?
Nah, that ain't my type of stuff, man. I play games that happen to have shooting in them.
Right.
But they don't actually be like about shooting. I play like stuff that be like mystery or an adventure or some shit like that. That's the type of stuff I'm into.
Yeah.
I mean, like, and I feel like life is so much of a competition. And like, and to an extent that I don't be like wanting to compete when I'm playing a video game.
Right.
I mean, yeah.
What else do you normally do to escape? Like, what's
I mean, yoga. I'm a yoga kind of guy these days. Definitely movies and stuff. I'll probably go see a movie today. Cooking. And really doing stuff that's like, I guess that other people would take for granted. You know what I'm saying? Going to the park, nigga. Breathing. Hanging with my family. Hanging with my family is super important to me. And just actually, like, setting like little goals and shit. That's like how I get away from just the everyday type of shit. You know what I mean? Like having fun with your mind, like trying to stay a kid, if you will. My manager, one of my best friends was talking to me just about it yesterday, about like living 9 weeks at a time as far as like goals and stuff, and just going super hard for 9 weeks. And at least you know, regardless of what the life goal is or the end goal, at least in those increments of time, you know that you was working your ass off and that you was giving yourself a break. So staying active is another way I just stay out my mind too. As long as I got something to do.
All
right. I mean, out of mind, are you crazy?
Hey, do you mind if I ask you what you were writing?
Oh man, I was doing something for this kids thing that I'll be doing. I'll be volunteering with kids and shit, and I did a back to school drive the other day, so I was writing, so I was signing some shit for these kids.
Right. Oh, that's dope. That's dope. So with this latest album, like The House Is Burning, for you personally, what's the most important track on there?
Individually, probably, I don't know. I mean, maybe the second half of HBTU, but the You're Not a Human Being shit is probably, like, to me, like, my favorite, one of my favorites. But I ain't one of them artists, man, who has a mission statement of one song. It's like they all, like, come together to say what I'm trying to say. Type of shit. Feel me?
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a 6-part podcast from CBC. Available now.
Hello, it's me, Jamie Lang, and I've got a new podcast, and this time there are no gimmicks. It's just great company. Because the thing is, I realize the reason I love podcasts so much is because they're a great way to connect with people.
Hello, I'm Youngblood.
Joe Brand.
I'm Paloma Faith.
Jay Blades.
Elizabeth Day.
Zara Larson. Casper
Lee. And I'm Great Company.
Great Company.
Great Company.
Great Company.
Apparently.
It's Great Company with me, Jamie Lang. Coming Wednesday, the 27th of March.
So, yo, I got 3 kids, right?
Oh, Jesus, I feel you.
Nah. It's all good. My middle child is a massive fan of you. Like,
okay.
Yo, I'm the best dad in the world right now.
What's your kid's name?
He's called Joshua.
Joshua. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let him know I said it was happening.
Let him know I said what's up. Yeah. So I'm under pressure to get this right today.
See, I think we got it going the right way, man. Before I really started, like before I decided on a career path, one of the things I wanted to do was work in, like, I wanted to work in radio or in something that I could like curate music, because I still be on that shit, like playlisting to myself and everything, and just trying to find like crazy, just different shit. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
New and inventive things to listen to.
Yeah. As a DJ, I'm fortunate in life to be able to do that every Friday night on my radio show. When you put together playlists or curate playlists, like, do you go a vibe, or is it tempo, or is it like, is it mood?
I usually put, because of the way that the algorithms and the way my iTunes and Spotify and shit work now, and the way they study us, and I've been having this motherfucker for like the same iTunes account for like 15 years, it feel like, I just put that shit on shuffle. I make a playlist, And I put, if I share it, I got it in the descriptions. Put it on shuffle. Cause that shit gonna hit. Cause it be the right songs regardless. They be the right songs and they flow into each other. And sometimes you need that random, some shit going from up here to going from down there, some shit going from down there to going up there. You don't know what to expect. Like, take some of the control out of your life. Just pick the songs, put them on shuffle. Let them rock. You know what I'm saying? Let your preference create your vibe for the day, instead of you trying to escape your vibe for the day.
I hear that. Okay, one of the joints, Lay With You, featuring Duke Deuce. Yeah. How did that come about?
I mean, real natural. If I'd say I was in the studio fucking around, homies was in there. I'm like, let me see if I can make something real quick. I made something real quick. And then we was like, shit, let's put somebody on that shit. Put Duke on there. Went to Atlanta, put him on that shit. Finito.
Hey, yo, I love Duke Deuce, man. I love how he's bringing that crunk energy. It's like...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Man. You saw him learning the guitar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nah, Duke Deuce, he's the one, man. He's dope. He's dope.
Yeah, definitely a good energy. Definitely good to have in the game right now, man.
Yeah.
In the rap community.
Yeah.
Some niggas used to be glad that they exist. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I like the From the Garden joint as well.
Oh, yeah. I made this shit in my mom's crib, dog.
For real?
Yeah. It was like that. I made that like the same day as this, that check we had put out. It's called Wild Word. We made the motherfuckers like the same day.
Right.
Totally different vibes. We made them the same day. It's like, I think we put Wild Word out in 2020 or something. Right. On like a TD Appreciation Week, some shit like that, but yeah. Same shit. Like it was freestyling, man. I just be trying to entertain myself, and I'd be happy to if it entertain anybody but me. You know what I'm saying? It's a blessing every time.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And then what made you want to put Lil Uzi Vert on there?
Couldn't think of nobody better.
Wow.
Yeah. Every song, like, it's like, you know, everybody fits shit differently. And he seemed like he would be the one that would spaz on that.
Right.
And he did it. And he killed it.
Yeah. That's dope, man. That's dope. So, between this and your first project, like, what's been happening? Like...
I mean, like anybody else. Not to downplay anything, but, you know, I got three kids. So, you know, and other stuff be on my mind besides, like, can I win a Grammy or can I satisfy my life via music? Other stuff really do be on a nigga mind. And family, man, spending time. I've been spending time. I got into rap real young, making life decisions real young. So I've been, you know, adjusting to that over time and filling my time with, like, just trying to enjoy myself. I think that's what anybody be doing when you don't be seeing them, you know. It's like, the same thing niggas be doing with the, except with the camera off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Recording whenever I feel or whenever it makes sense.
Yeah.
Video games, fucking cooking, cleaning, trying to stay as normal to the shit that I grew up on while still enjoying like the spoils of having people who admire some of the stuff I do.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I love what you're saying. Do you ever, is there ever any points where you like feel the pressure of being famous or being a rapper, or does that get to you, or are you just like?
I know famous niggas. I know famous people. I'm not famous, bro. I'm just people just like my music. I ain't did nothing crazy like that for nobody to call me famous. If it at them like I ain't did nothing. I ain't tatted my face nothing crazy, or got into no trouble with nobody and no shit like that. Like I just make music, bro, and I'm blessed that's what I am to people, that people look at me or look towards me for some type of light or some type of inspiration. But just I don't want nobody to hawk me down at the store, dog. At the most, I only want to have a bodyguard at a show, not in life.
I hear that.
Yeah.
So. Look, I've interviewed a lot of artists. Like,
yeah,
everyone. I've Kanye West multiple times, Jay-Z, Drake, and, you know, Kendrick, Schoolboy Q, SZA. And, you know, I got to talk to you about the TDE situation. I'm not going to do it in any kind of fuck shit type of way, but people who listen to this, they'd be like, if I don't ask you about it, they're going to be like, yo, Sam, man, what the fuck? Like, so I was on Clubhouse the other night when the news broke about Kendrick announcing his last album on TDE. And the room was fascinating because there was a whole bunch of people debating about you. And it was fascinating because they were like, it was all good. It was all complimentary. But there was people who were like, yo, Rashad got next. I mean, Isaiah got next. He's the guy. He's the one. Da, 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 da. And you know, like, Clubhouse is full of experts anyway. Like, experts. Yeah. And then there was other people who were like, you know, he's going to step up and he's the main guy now. And da, 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 da. And I was just like,
I don't know what that means, bro.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, yo, the guys just, I don't think any of that shit. But it was fascinating to see how people from across the world were debating about your
role. I mean, that's flattering,
TV.
Right?
Yeah, definitely.
That's flattering. Definitely. That's flattering that people think I could fill those shoes or whatever, those Cortezes. But nah, man, it's not like that. I mean, if there's a hole left, I don't really think there's a hole left. What people don't understand is that that rappers are signed to contracts. And from time to time, if you are fortunate enough and you're not getting fucked by somebody, your contract's over.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's if you want to do it again, you can do it again. Sometimes, like, nigga get so big, nigga, you know what I'm saying? They can make niggas think they can create their own things on their own and make their own decisions by like solely by themselves. Like, it's something like that's what everybody should want to do at some point in time. And like that's nothing really. I can't see anything even the slightest bit wrong with that. And to psychoanalyze it, other than like, it's not like basketball. Like, he has to be released. It's like his contract's up. If he got a little cousin, he got his own shit going on, and you know what I mean, why not build something with your family? That's what everybody else wants to do. That's what top dog literally is. Is like topping like most of his kids in the company, like, and like since I met him, integral parts, families everywhere. That's you give family opportunities. So that's all I see him doing. The guy next thing is like, I think, thank you for believing in me. I'm like, yeah, but it's like, it's cool, man. It's flattering. At the very least, it's flattering.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's dope. That's dope. So would you ever consider like bringing your own family into the rap game? Like you said, you got three kids. Like, is it something that you would do?
I mean, I don't want my kids to rap. Like, I don't want my kids to get into music like that. But my little brother's a crazy talented producer, bro. And we've been working on his stuff. Like, he's a crazy talented producer. Like, some J Dilla type shit. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Dope.
Yeah, definitely. Like, he's a crazy type. He's a crazy, crazy producer. My little brother, blood brother. Same mom type shit. So, yeah, I would love to do something with him. I'd love to do something with... I do shit with my friends all the time, though. But yeah, like, and people I grew up with, like, most of the producers on most of the songs are somebody I either went to college with, grew up with, or met in the last 5 years and kick it with quite a lot. So all I do is family, bro. It's the same thing over here. I just got blessed enough to be able to do some of this shit before, you know what I mean? Before I even got to a place of where I would even call myself putting somebody on. At this point, people have just been doing the shit with me. I ain't even at a put on place yet where I feel like my word matters. Hey, go check this guy out. It's like, no, if you fuck with me, go check it out. But,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I hear that. You know what is the biggest thing that you've learned being with TDE and the guys over there?
Ain't nobody, man, it's plenty of help out there, but ain't nobody gonna help you if you don't say nothing. That's what I learned. It's like the resources is there. You gotta, besides just locating them, you gotta ask for help. And you gotta do something with it. Cause niggas ain't, people who good at something ain't got time to waste their time. And if you wanna be good at something, you should be trying to think the same way. It's beneficial. Sometimes it may hurt to do it. Sometimes it may hurt to remind somebody else of that, but it's beneficial.
Bro, you got a mad chilled approach to the game. I love it. It's just like, totally just unfazed by any of it. Like, what?
I wake up at like 6 in the morning. most of my whatever the fuck is out of my system by like 11.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I've been early riser since I was young. So I don't really be having time to have a fucked up day. And if my day gonna be fucked up, dog, we probably wouldn't even be talking right now. Right. If my shit was that bad.
Right. Glad I called you on the
call. And I just made a crazy ass three. On this shit. A crazy deep ass three on this game. Very impressed.
Hey, what advice would you give to the youth coming through, like anyone trying to make it in the rap game? Because everyone's, you know, they see it as the way out. A lot of kids think that it's easy.
Man, go 110,000%. Study, treat that shit like if you respect a fucking scholar, and never quit your day job until you get a contract that pay more than your day job.
Wow.
Yearly, not just that month.
That's the realest answer I've ever heard. It's dope.
Yeah, ain't no point in just risking your life. Dummies take risks. I think the people who did this shit for real, like, they boost their stories and make it sound all like fairy tale, because, you know, the victor tells the story type of shit. But it'd be like calculated, schemey shit that it takes somebody like to be kind of smart or at least kind of cunning to do. And then the part beyond the behind the scenes shit is then on top of that, you got to be creative. Some people don't have the time to be cunning and creative, so they get writers. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And some people have the time to be both.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hello, I'm La La La, Let Me Explain, and this is It's Not You, It's Them, But It Might Be You. I'm here to answer all your questions around love, relationships, sex, dating dilemmas, and anything else you throw my way. Join me 3 times a week as we work through the depths of this intimacy pool together. From Sony Music Entertainment, listen and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yo, I really like the joint R.I.P. Young.
Oh yeah, that I made that shit specifically for Cal.
Right.
Like Cal Banks, the producer. Like we was at his crib, and I'm like, man, I gotta make some shit. This nigga like, man, he tired of hearing all these. How would I describe him? I was trying to make all this experimental shit, and I'm like, yeah, I don't make something for him. And I for sure know how to make some shit for my friends. So we just made that shit, and it turned out to be a song that other people like. Most of the songs were songs I made for other people. The songs I made, like, either in mind to if I could try my hand at writing a hook for somebody, or a bridge, or a bass of a song, or I was really just making some shit for, like, my mom to vibe to, or my girl, or some shit that I knew that was, like, Chad don't got a whole bunch of cussing in it, and it sound kind of simple, so I made that shit. Like, I hope my little girl liked that shit, and she likes this shit.
Who helped you put all of these ideas together? Like,
I mean, the whole team, the whole management team at TD, like, we say everybody got the list of the songs the way it was, and everybody came together with their little track list and the schemes of what they thought it should be, and I had mine, and we just swapped them out, sat down, and argued a bunch, and then by the time we had announced the project, the shit was track listed. Which it was like it takes a lot of teamwork.
Which track caused the most arguments?
From the Garden, because the beat, it had like two, three different beats.
Right.
And the structure of it. That was our main thing that we were talking about. But other than that, like it was cake, man. It was like we be liking all most of the same shit. You know what I mean? Hmm. Especially because the basket narrowed down earlier. It started off from a larger batch. So at around 15, 16 songs, it's just like, okay, what order is it going to be in? And then what's going to be the secret? Like, then hand it off to get somebody to see if we want to add some post-production, like, skits and shit, see what we want to be.
Right.
Like that. It's a team thing, man. I this is my third time doing it. And so at this point, we kind of got it almost down to a science of just pass it off. In no weird ass way, but like for real, like do your part, give it to the next person. Let them do their part, let's come review it. It's like, you know what I mean? I made all this shit, like, and the track listed would be making an album to perfect thing to myself, and that shit would take way too long.
Right.
It's like I like the songs anyway. Just take, I be liking when people take some decision making out of my hand. That's the great thing about having a team. Mm.
It's important to have a good team, right?
Yeah, man. You can't determine the direction on everything. It's like, damn, man, you making all this music. What's the point of doing shit with people if people aren't gonna be able to get the credit for like making decisions too? It's like, yeah, I did all this shit by myself. That shit sound lame as hell. That don't sound fun at all. That's like somebody who made movies and got a cheap lighting man. It's some shit. It's like, why not we get the best one? It's okay that you're gonna have to say, and to say you got the best lighting man in movies, like that's a good thing, right?
Yeah, like, nah, definitely.
You know what I mean,
yeah.
Or the best DP on a set, the best fucking any of that shit. You know what I'm saying? The best fucking caterer. Like you want to have people who are good at shit. Better than you. I'd be happy that everybody, I think, who I work with to an extent, better at what they do than I am. At least be trying to make me feel like it enough that I gotta like keep my shit going.
Right. It's been 7 years since you've been in the, I can't believe it's that long, that's crazy. But 7 years since you've been in the UK. Is there anything music wise that you've heard from out here that's caught your ear?
I just think it's interesting how much music from the UK and honestly, like Africa, has influenced the rest of the world in that time. From the drill music, how it went from Chicago drill to like low key, and UK drill is what's going on right now everywhere, and then to the Afrobeat shit, to dance hall shit. It's just tight. That's what I've noticed and what I appreciate the most out of like the past couple of years. And my homie Sims, my homie Lil Sims, it has been kicking ass all seven fucking years. She has been kicking ass all 7 years. She does not get talked about enough. She has been like on every type of legendary niggas album that we can name, from the Gorillaz to I don't know who the fuck else. Like, I mean, like, and Mark Ronson shit, I think. Like, she's done everything. And, like, that's just like, it's like that, like, to even experience that.
Mm. Yeah, she's one of the hardest out here. She's dope.
Man, one of the hardest workers and the hardest out here.
Yeah. Talking about the Afrobeats thing, is there anyone, have you got a favorite artist? Is there anyone you're feeling more that you go
to? Nah, I'd be lying if I said that. I'm learning, man. I'm learning and getting into all this shit. I be listening to old shit that my mom, like, I got a little playlist and shit, and I have to actually go through it to tell you all their names, so I ain't even gonna even do it to you. But I'm getting on this shit, man.
Yeah.
I'm getting on this shit. No bullshit.
All right. So third project. You're rolling with one of the dopest teams in the game. Like, What where do you want to take this? Like, what's your plan? Like,
I mean, I just started making plans, man. I consider myself up until this point, and even somewhere right now, like, I call it, like, artist development. Like, most of my favorite artists didn't put out their first, real album until about right now, and I feel like that's what I'm on right now. I feel like I'm on time, so I'm trying to make something better next time, make it a little quicker than I did this one, and just keep building on it so I can open up more doors for myself, open up doors for my family. I don't know. I like competing, man, so I want to just get my shit at a level where I can compete with anybody on a rap-wise shit. But other than that, it's about just developing this shit as a songwriter. I just want to be one of the best songwriters of all time. I'm keeping it being with you.
That's dope. Do you ever feel pressure from your fans? Like, you got some, like, mad, avid, loyal people. But
I'm older than all them niggas. I'm older than every one of them niggas. Not really, no. I was like, it's cool. not really, no. I'm like, more if anything, I be honestly asking them what they be thinking about shit sometimes, because they be having the right mindset that, you know, sometimes I'll neglect and you'll forget that you were a fan of music yourself, so. It sways from them being fans to being peers sometimes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I hear that. Hey, well, listen, like, appreciate you taking the time out.
Man, you, bro. You too.
Yeah, and yo, when you get to the UK, like, let's do this in person. We'll have more to talk about.
Oh, God. And when I get to UK, I need you to put me on some food, bro. Because that's all I'm going to be, is hungry when I get out there. Oh, God.
True Flavors, Brixton. That's the spot.
I'm going to have to write it down, True Flavors, because I ain't going to remember by the time we get over there, motherfucker. By the time, I'm going to just go ahead and crack some Nando's like last time.
It's cool, man. Well, look, listen, like, I'll let you get on with your day, but thank you and stay safe.
Yeah, thank you, brother.
All right.
You too, man. Tell everybody out there, I said thank you for the love and for, you know what I'm saying, taking the time, and much respect. I can't wait to see y'all. All right, bro. Yeah.